Today we have the privilege of studying Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Perek Dalet, the fourth chapter of Divrei Hayamim. This chapter continues the theme we have seen since the beginning of Divrei Hayamim, giving the genealogy of the tribe of Yehuda, those portions of the tribe who are not part of Malchut Beit David. It is very significant that the genealogy of Malchut Beit David, which we saw yesterday in Perek Gimel, the third chapter, is not situated at the beginning of the genealogies, nor is it situated at the end. Malchut of David, the family of David, is not seen as the only significant Jewish presence or Jewish representative by the author of Divrei Hayamim. Rather, the family of David HaMelech is embedded as part of the rest of the genealogy of the Jewish people, one other branch of the Jewish people, a branch which is very important, but a branch which is put in its place in the middle of the genealogy of the Jewish people. So that Perek Bet of Divrei Hayamim gives the genealogy of one part of the family of the tribe of Yehuda, then Perek Gimel gives the genealogy of David HaMelech's family, Perek Dalet goes back to talking about the rest of the tribe of Yehuda. So, the chapter begins with mentioning the families from different parts of Yehuda, Bnei Yehuda, Peretz, Chetzron, V'Charmi, V'Chor, V'Shoval, and now speaks about other branches besides the branches of Peretz and Chetzron. And here too, the technique which we saw earlier, the technique in Perek Bet, the technique of mentioning certain cities and saying that the descendants of the inhabitants of this city are descendants from such and such a branch of the Davidic of Yehuda is repeated here. Thus, we find in Pasuk Daled, Ufnuel Avigdor, Ve'ezer Avichusha, El Vnei Chor, Bechor Ephrata, Avi Beit Lachem. People are spoken of as being the fathers of certain cities, the father of Gedor, the father of Chusha, the father of Beit Lechem. And then in Pasuk Hei, we have the father of Tekoa. Again, the idea being we're trying to identify what is the yichus of people who come from particular cities. In this chapter, we also find short vignettes, short narratives about particular people who are mentioned in the genealogies. Thus, in Pasuk Tet, Vayhi Ya'abet Nichbad Me'echav, V'imo Kara'a Shmo Ya'abet Lemor Ki Yaladti Be'otzev. So Ya'abet was more honored than his brothers. His mother had named him Ya'abet. Why? Ya'abet is a sort of metathesis. I gave birth to him when I was in pain. Otzev, the reversal of letters, leads to Ya'abet. Why is Ya'abet told about? We're told in Pasuk Yud, Vayikra Ya'abet Lelokei Yisrael, Lemor, Im Barech Tevarecheni, V'hirbita Et Gvuli, V'hayita Yadcha Imi, V'asita Mera'a Levilti Otzbi, Vayave Elokim Et Yasher Sha'al. His mother says, I have given birth to him in pain, and Ya'abet cries out to God, and says, God, if you will bless me, and you will increase my borders, your hand will be with me, and if you will hold back from doing harm, so that I not be cause pain, God brings upon him that which he asks. There's a certain message that the mother gives birth to him in pain, and Ya'abet prays and is able to get divine assistance for his job of conquering land. And there's a certain message here to the generation of Shivat Zion. Even if your parents have gone through the pain of Galut, rely on God, he will assist you in conquering the land. That message is given repeatedly in these chapters, because the key message of these chapters is that the conquest is not a one-time event in the time of Yahushua, but that Jews from all tribes at all times participated in the conquest of the land. We see that idea in Pasuk Lamed Tet, through the end of the chapter, in the most intense way. Because after the chapter lists the tribes of the families of Yehuda and mentions the various cities in which they are the progenitors, cities which exist at the time of Bayit Sheni, time of Shivat Zion, the time of the early second temple, the chapter goes on to list the tribe of Shimon. Listing of tribe of Shimon begins with Pasuk Kafdalet. And after listing the names of the tribe of Shimon, we find a story about the tribe of Shimon, which is characteristic of the type of stories we find in these chapters. Pasuk Lamerchet. Ele habaim b'shemot, nesi'im b'mishpechotam, uveit avoteyem partzu larov. These are those listed with names, princes and their families, and their fathers' houses expanded greatly. How did they expand? Pasuk Lamatet. Vayelchulim vogdor ad lemizruach hagai levakesh mir eletzonam. They went from close to Gedor till the east part of the valley in order to seek pasturage for their sheep. Vayimtzu mir es shamen vatov ve'aretz rachavat yadayim v'shoketet u'shleva ki mincham hayoshvim sham lefanim. They found good and fertile pasturage. The land was wide open and quiet and peaceful, because the descendants of Ham lived there before them. Who are descendants of Ham? Ham is spoken of one of the sons of Noah. Ham is the father of Canaan. Canaanites lived there before them, and they are the people of the children of Shimon are here credited with taking possession of this particular valley in order to pasture their sheep there. Vayavo ele haktuvim b'shemot bimei Chizkiyahu melech Yehuda vayaku et aholeihem ve'et hameunim asher nimtzu shama vayacharimum ad hayom hazeh vayeshvu tachteihem ki mir'e letzonam sham. Those who are mentioned here by names, in other words, what's the significance of the genealogy? That those who are listed here, the children of Shimon, came in the time of Chizkiyahu, king of Yehuda. They defeated the Bnei Cham, they defeated the descendants of Cham with their tents, as well as the Me'unim, the members of a certain tribe called the Me'unim, who were there. They utterly destroyed them until this day, and they took their place dwelling there because there was pasturage for their sheep. What is the point of this story? What is the point of emphasizing over and over again the pasturage for their sheep? The point is to indicate the conquest, again, is not a one-time thing. Conquest does not begin and end in the time of Yahushua. Conquest of the land of Israel is done by all tribes at all times. That implies that it can also be done at the time of Bayit Sheni. It goes on, Umehem ibnei Shimon halchu lehar Seir anashim 500, uflatya unaria urfaya v'uziel bnei ish'i b'rosham, vayaku et she'erit hapleita l'amalek, vayeshvu sham ad hayom hazeh. The last two psukim of the chapter mention how certain branches of Bnei Shimon went to Har Seir, the region of Seir in the southernmost part of land of Israel, the region that's later called Edom. They took possession of the land from the tribes of Amalek who had lived there. They lived there until this day. The idea that Divrei Hayamim was trying to convey in those last three words, Ad Hayom Hazeh, that not all Jews were exiled, some Jews remained in the land throughout the exile. Historically, archaeologically, we know that that's true, that there is a connection of the Jewish people that to the land that is eternal, unbreakable, and that exile doesn't break, and that the acts of that the process of conquest is not limited and is not interruptible. And so these named individuals from Shimon who are elsewhere not credited with any significant achievements in Tanakh, are here given the credit for having conquered, for having taken possession of a valley somewhere in the south of Eretz Israel, and also for having taken possession of some of Har Seir. Why is that so significant? It shows that the act of taking possession of the land is one that continues in all generations, is done by all tribes